Okay, I hope everyone's week's going well. Just a plug for usually I don't make PR announcements, but my Rebbe, Rabbi Moshe Weinberger Shlita, not sure anyone who is, maybe a lot of people, maybe you don't know who he is, he's a very famous rabbi in New York. He's a rabbi of a kahila in Woodmere called Esh Kodesh. He's also the Mashkiach Mashpia in Yeshiva University. So he actually happens to be in Florida, and he's speaking tonight in Bell Harbor at 8 o'clock at the Young Israel, I believe, of Bell Harbor. Just wanted to throw that out there. It happens to be, he has inspired thousands, including myself. Just want to put that in. I know it's a little bit of a drive, but I guarantee you, you'll come home well satiated for your neshama. All right, just to start off with two little small ideas before we get to the big idea. The Baal HaTorim, I kind of looked for it inside, but I didn't see it, but I saw a quote in other Svarim. The Baal HaTorim writes on the second word of the Parsha, the Eila Shemos B'nei Yisrael, and these were the names of the Jewish people. He says Shemos happens to be an acronym for Shnayim Mikra Ve'echad Targum. He says that it's a great thing. We all know what Shnayim Mikra Ve'echad Targum is. Shnayim Mikra Ve'echad Targum is the mitzvah that a person has to be able to read the Parsha two times and also have an explanation, a translation, going along with that chumash, for with the chumash. For example, a lot of people will read the Rishon and then will learn Unkelus with it. Or for some, that's what Rav Schechter told me. Rav Schechter said the best way to do it is Unkelus. To be honest with you, for me, if I learn Unkelus, I'm not really understanding what Unkelus is saying. So I'll learn Rashi. So he says, Ve'ela Shemos, he says, Shemos is the code word for learning Shnayim Mikra Ve'echad Targum, right? The Shin stands for Shnayim. The Mem stands for Mikra, right? Mikra means the reading. Ve'echad, the Vav is Ve'echad. Targum, tough. And the Gemara says, that someone who does Shnayim Mikra Ve'echad Targum, the reward is Arichas Yamim. Right? So it's not only Kivud Avein that we know there's a long life, and not just Shiloh HaKan, sending the mother bird away, but also doing Shnayim Mikra Ve'echad Targum. This is something that I think gets very, very overlooked. So now, even starting Shemos, where we might have felt like, Bracious and all these Parshis are so long, like Vayechi, like these Rashis don't stop, and the Rashis are so long, Shemos now is a new time to start again. The second Baal term, little small nugget, sometimes you're at lunch, and the host don't want to hear a whole long shmooze for 10 minutes, so you want to give him like a little small Dvar Torah. It happens in my house all the time. Just say a Dvar Torah, but don't speak for 28 minutes. Okay, so is it okay if I speak for 2 minutes? Okay, so this is a 2-minute Dvar Torah. The Pasuk says, I'm just talking from personal experience. The Pasuk says that Vatiftach Vatiras HaYeled, Bat Paros went down to the river to bathe, and she saw the boy. V'inei Nar Bocha, and she saw the lad was crying. Vatachma Olav, and she had pity, she had mercy upon him. Vatomer Miyalde HaIvrim Zeh, and she said that this boy must be from the Jews. So Rashi picks up on the Pasuk, and Rashi says, V'inei Nar Bocha, what does that mean? Kolo Kena'ar. That she saw that something was a little weird. Babies, usually when they're born, they had a little bit of a squeaker voice. As they get older, they have a different voice. So Rashi says the voice of Moshe was a little interesting for Bat. It was different. That's why the terms of Yelet and Nar. So the question is, why does it say Batiftach Batira is a Yelet? She opened the basket and then she saw the boy and she saw the Nar crying. So Rashi just says no. It's Moshe Rabbeinu. It was someone who was a little weird with the baby's voice. He looked like he was he looked like older than he was, and his voice was a little older. But the Baal term says such an unbelievable word. It's so powerful for an incredible, incredible idea. It happened to be one of the first things my wife told me when we were dating. She learned it, actually. Not that we only spoke Divrei Torah. I learned the hard way that your wife's not your charusa. But she told me this idea from the Baal term, an amazing thing. She said, "Batiftach vateriyas ayelet." Yeled refers to Moshe. Vihine na'ar bocha. Who was the na'ar that was crying? It was Aaron HaKohen. Very good. Right? It was Aaron HaKohen. It wasn't Moshe who was crying in the basket. It was Aaron HaKohen who was crying. That he saw his brother in such danger, in such a scary place, that his mother just put him in the river. Right? The Pasuk says that Miriam stood by the side. Comes along the Baal HaTorim to tell us it wasn't only Miriam. Comes along the Baal HaTorim says that Aaron was also there. What was Aaron doing? Aaron was crying. And the Baal HaTorim says, you want to know a remez for this, a remez to show you that actually was, a hint to show you that it actually was Aaron HaKohen. He says, if you take the gematria of Nar Boche, right, the two words from the lad was crying, it equals Ze Aaron HaKohen. It equals those three words. This is Aaron HaKohen. Pretty unbelievable thing, no? Baal HaTorim, not only does he tell us that it's Aaron, he even gives you a raya. So even if you don't like gematrias, right, okay, sometimes we like gematria, people like gematria, you're good to go. And then some people They're not there yet. I'm telling you, if the Baal HaTerem can use that as a proof, then I think we could also accept it. So if you do the Gematria, it happens to be, Gematria is one off. But if you know Gematria is, you're allowed to be one off. The word counts as one also. So I think it's like 347, 348. So if you're going to be one of those guys, oh, it's one off. This, I'm telling you, the rules for hundreds of years is Gematria, the word itself, counts as one as well. So I think it's a tremendous lesson, especially in Avos Yisrael. Aaron HaKohen could have just went on his way. No, he saw his brother in pain. He saw his brother was in danger. And he went out of his way to not only look there, but he cried there. And that's why we could say, Batomer, she said, Miyaldei HaIvrim Zeh. This must be from the Jews. Yeah, there's a boy crying. There's a Nara crying. That means this baby must be from the Jews. Because Jews care for each other. Jews go out of their way to be able to care for each other. What? He was 3 years? Yeah, 3 years old. He was only 3 years older than him. Excellent, excellent point. So that was just two small nuggets. One small nugget about Shnai Mikra Be'echa Targum Ve'ila Shemos, and one small nugget of Bine Nar Bocha being Aaron HaKohen. We're already 6 minutes in, so I guess we'll try to take those nuggets and make them a little smaller. Here we go. So today's topic is going to just be about tefillah. I haven't spoken about tefillah yet, but I think it happens to be a tremendous something that at least I struggle in, and I think that it's something that we all need chizuk in. Parsha, we know, says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw Klal Yisrael from they were being pained. Vayanchu b'nei Yisrael min avoda vayizaku, and they screamed out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vatal shavasam el halokim min avoda, right? And their cries raised up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from their work. So if you look in the pasuk, it's in Perek Beis pasuk of Gimel. Right, the whole reason that they had this time to daven is because who died? Because Paro died. Right, I'm sure you know the famous idea from the Mesillas Yesharim. Right, I'm sure everyone here knows the Mesillas Yesharim says they only daven then because they never had a day off. Paro made them so busy that they didn't even have time to daven, and that's what the Mesillas Yesharim says. The Yitzhar does that too. Makes them so worried about everything, especially you know right before you daven or you get that text message and you check right before davening. Right, it always happens in the middle of Shemona Esrei when you have a thought and you can't. And you can't focus. It says Paro did the same thing. Paro didn't give him a chance as Mr. Sharma to be able to daven. So that's why did they only daven once Paro died? Because that's what they had actually had a day off. That's not going to be. That's just a side note. So we look in the pasuk. It says an amazing thing. They rested from the work. I think Vayanchu means rest. Vayizaku, and they screamed, groaned. Okay, sorry, they groaned from the work and they screamed. The question is, why does it mean avoda twice? They groaned from the work, and they screamed, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard their cry from the work. Avoda seems to be repetitive. Why did it say two times? Number three, and number two, is really the same 1B, is why did Hashem only hear their tefillos now? Like, they didn't daven before? Okay, so the Mishnah Hashem says, no, they actually didn't daven. So the first question is, why did Hashem only hear their tefillos now? Why did it say the word Avoda twice? If you go one pasuk later, in Chafei, two pasukim later, it says, Vayar Elokim es b'nei Yisrael, Hashem saw the Jewish people, Vayeda Elokim, period. And Hashem knew. What did Hashem know? It seems so odd. Say, Hashem knew their pain. Hashem knew what they were going through. Hashem knew what was going on in their lives. It just seems like a cliff. Vayeda Elokim, Hashem knew. What did Hashem know? Right? So the first question is, why did he repeat Avoda twice? And number two is, what did Hashem know in Pasuk Chafei? Number three, just I think it's important to talk about a little bit. You know that we've entered already on Sunday a very special time period in the Jewish calendar. For everyone who's not familiar with this term, the term Shovavim is a very, very holy time in the Jewish people. Shovavim stands, it's an acronym for the parashios of Shemos Va'era, Bo Bishalach Yisro Mishpatim. Shovavim is a 6-week period, comes every year, and Shemos comes until Mishpatim, where the Svarim HaKadoshim write that a person has a tremendous, tremendous ability to be able to metakin, to fix any type of vera that he did throughout the whole year, whether it be in Kedusha Seinayim, or whatever it is, a person has the ability to be able to, their tefillos are on a much higher level, right? To be honest with you, I never heard about this until I went to Eretz Yisrael. There's a big Sadik man, if you're ever in Yerushalayim, named Rav Tzvi Meyer Zilberberg. He's an American guy, but he speaks fully in Yiddish, so there's always these Americans there who feel bad for the Americans who come, and he speaks amazing Shal Shudas Torah. He's like, keep Shabbos till like 12 o'clock. So in Yeshiva, I used to go from Shalavim. I used to like end Shabbos and then go, and then he's still at Shalashuddas. So he talks a little bit about this. How does Tefillah connect now to Shovavim? So let's start off with the first question. Why does it say Avoda twice? Rabbeinu Bechaya has an amazing idea. Rabbeinu Bechaya said it was time for Klal Yisrael to leave. It was time for Klal Yisrael to leave. However, The Kodesh Baruch Hu has a lot, always has a lot of treasures upstairs. But we have to be able to do something to be able to get those treasures, right? In the Zohar, in the Kabbalistic terms, it's called a susa de la tata. Meaning you have to do something for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be able to do, to be able to move, to do his move. Right? You have to make your move, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do his move. It says Rabbeinu Bechaya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that he davened such a hard level. It wasn't just Vayiz'aku, it was Vayiz'aku v'tal shevasam min ha'avoda. They were at like the lowest level. I'm sure everyone here has times in your life where you're davening, it's on a much higher level because something specific is going on in your life that you never had to deal with before. That you never had that issue before, you never had that hardship, and because you had that hardship, the tefillah now is on a much higher level. I'm sure this happens to me all the time. Sometimes when everything's going well, my tefillah's okay, shmon esrei, bada bing, bada boom. But when something's going wrong, and something's hard, and something's challenging, the tefillah comes from a much deeper place. It comes from a much more real, and a much more genuine and sincere place. Says Rabbeinu Bechaya, you want to know why it was over here? Because the avoda was so excruciating, it was so terrible. They daven from a deep place. Can you imagine 210 years of in one tefillah? That's what it seems like from the Mesillas Yesharim. All the hardships in one tefillah. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "Now it's time to go. Now it's time to leave." I'm sure everyone here knows the famous idea, but I'll say it again just for Chazar. Chazar is always good. They say by the Nachash, right? When Adam was when they sinned, Adam got the punishment that he had to work. Right? He had to make a livelihood. And Chava's punishment was that she had to have hardship for being pregnant. But what was the Nachash's punishment? Pasuk says that he had to eat from the dust. He lost his legs, but he had to eat from the dust. So there's a famous Rebbe, Rav Meir Primer Schleiner, also Rav Schechter quotes it in the name of, I think, Rav Mendel of Vorka, no, Rav Itzel of Vorka. He says that, why is that a punishment for the snake? He has everything. He has his food, he has his shelter, he doesn't have to worry about anything, right? Everything he eats now is going to, all the dust is going to taste like food. It seems like the biggest reward. Comes along Meir Parmer Shlaner and Rav Itzel of Vorka, they say the same idea. When a person has everything, and have everything on their plate, and they don't need to call out to Kadosh Baruch for anything, that's the biggest punishment. That's the biggest curse. When you have something, everything in your life is going well, your health, and your job, and your kids' shidduchim, and your own life, and your own happiness, everything's going well, and you don't have to call out to Hashem, that's the biggest curse. The biggest zechus, the biggest privilege that a Jew has, says Rav Meir Primer Schleiner, is that a person has hardships in their life and they're able to call out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's exactly why Rabbeinu Bechai says that Kadosh Baruch Hu answered to their tefillahs now. And this goes well with the second. With the second question. What did Hashem know? Says the Holy Svarno, an incredible idea, very very pashut. The Svarno says he saw that it came from their lev. Vayeda Elokim. What does it mean that he saw? He knew. Yada nige levavam v'shahaisa tefilasam v'tzakasam b'chol lev. He saw that it was coming from their inner heart. He saw that it was coming from something real, something genuine. It wasn't just something he knew. It was something that was coming really from their essence. When someone davens, when someone it penetrates your heart, right? When you have a mashiach that comes to your home or comes to you in shul, and then they give you a whole shmooze, right? And they give and it penetrates your heart. You know that's right. The Chazal say ayotzi min alev. It comes from your heart, it penetrates the heart. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew. He saw that it came from the heart. And that's really what tefillah is. The Gemara says in Tainus, I'm sure everyone here knows, what is davening? It's a work of the heart. It's not Hebrew, it's not Hebrew reading skills, right? And you know, my Rebbe likes to say, it's not a zooming thing. No one says you have to daven for an hour and a half. But to be able to make sure that every single Shmon Esther or every single Pesuk Nizimra, did I put my heart into those words? Am I thinking about my friends and their family? Or am I just thinking about myself? Tefillah means that it comes from the heart. The essence of tefillah means that it's coming from one's soul. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew. Vayeda Elokim, what did he know? Says the Svarno. He saw that it came from where? It came from their heart. It didn't just come from their mind, from their brains. It came from their heart. Just to be able to close with a short story. They say Rav Moshe Sturmbach, I'm sure everyone here knows, Moshe Sturmbach is one of the leading Gedolei Hador in our generation in Yerushalayim. I've met him several times. He has an amazing South African accent. He's an incredible Talmud Chacham. We have a Svarim over there in the Beis Midrash. Unbelievable Talmud Chacham. So when he was a young boy, I think 15, 16 years old, he was once sitting in class, and his Rebbe was the Chabina Rav. Big, huge, huge Tzaddik, huge Talmud Chacham. So Chabina Rav asked a kasha, he asked a question to his class, and he was pretty sure that no one was going to be able to get it. It was a very hard kasha. Not sure what the question was. What happened was, Moshe Sternbach, he wasn't Rav at the time, he raises his hand, and what happened was, he said the answer. And the Tribune of Rav was dumbfounded. He like said, and he said the following thing. He said, "That's not your answer. That didn't come from you." So like the whole class is like, "What? Like, is he cheating? This, that? What happened?" So the Tribune of Rav went on to explain and said, "He said anyone at your age is not able to physically or mentally be able to answer, not physically, mentally able that answer. You want to know where it came from? That answer that you were able to answer that came from your mother davening." That you should become a Talmid Chacham one day. Because no one at your age would be able to answer that answer. And what happened was, the story goes, Rav Ephraim Shapiro says a story, he says that he found out the second part of the answer. Rav Moshe Sternbach, I think he grew up in England, and what happened was, there was a shul, and the gabbai, whatever, they were getting all these complaints about a certain woman who was davening from the woman's side. And they got to be so loud, and they were having it, they told the Rav that it was time for her to go. Who did it end up being? It was Rav Moshe Sternbach's mother. So what happened was in the story, they said, they told the Rav, it's time for her to go. So the Rav said, it's no problem. If she goes, it's no problem. But you just know, if she goes, then I go. Because her tefillahs are so powerful. Her tefillahs literally come from her heart. She's not going anywhere. And lo and behold, she didn't go anywhere. Rav Moshe Sternbach, it was impossible for him to be able to have that answer by himself. But his mother davened from every single Friday night. She davened by the candles. Right? Because the king of the God of Banim of Nevanim. That she davened that her son should be a Talmid Chacham. And when something comes from the heart, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that it comes from the heart. So what is Shovavim? Shovavim is the time that we have a tremendous closeness to us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But as the Chafetz Chaim said, he said the following line, he said the mouth is the pen of the heart. Right? The mouth, where we say in Shemon Esrei, where we daven, it's only describing what's really inside. It's a beautiful line. The mouth, I'm sure he didn't say it in English, but probably sounds a little better in Hebrew. The mouth is the pen of the heart. When we daven, we have to make sure that the things that are coming out of our mouth are just not the same things that I davened yesterday, or not the same things that I davened this morning. It should be something new. And when I daven mincha today, it's not the same thing I davened for mincha yesterday, or even when I davened for shacharis today. Okay, maybe if there's certain regular things that you daven for, that's totally fine. But to make sure that everything, every tefillah is coming from something new, coming from the heart. And Shovim is a special time that a person has tremendous siyat d'shmaya to be able to do that, to be able to daven. So just to wrap it up, we saw two ideas from the Baal Term. The Baal Term said, Shai Mikra V'echa Targum, that's what Shemos is. A person, we know the Gemara says, when a person does this, it's a hidden secret from Chazal to get a long life. Okay, so it might be a little hard. So no one says you have to do everything in the first week. Right? I remember when I was in 8th grade, it was very hard to do. In high school, I didn't do it. It was too hard. So little by little, you know, you do whatever you can. And number two, we saw an amazing Baal Term. The Nar Bocha wasn't just Moshe. The Yelod was Moshe. The Nar Bocha was Aaron HaKohen. Because when his brother's in pain, he's also in pain. And then we saw the whole ideas about davening. When a person davens from their heart, that's what Rabbeinu B'chai says. When they said the word Avoda twice. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu see from all the work? They got to a place that it was so deep, it was so real for them. It was coming right from their heart. And that's the whole idea from the Sfarno. What if Ayeda Elokim? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu know? He know that it came from his heart. It came from their hearts. So Hashem should bless us that our tefillahs should come from our hearts. And the more our tefillahs will come from our hearts, and not just by rote, and not just by Hebrew reading skills, Hebrew fast reading skills, the more we make our tefillahs more meaningful, the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless us and our families for good things as the Shem Yisbarach.